Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your chantress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. I'm celebrating today the 23rd annual Open Studios Tour. This is always a landmark in Santa Barbara arts history because you get to go into everybody's studio. And it's really interesting. Over the years, I've interviewed every year artists that open their studios, and they all have different preparations. Some of them bake cookies, some of them get wine in, some of them clean for the first time, you know, in a million years. Anyway, it's Labor Day weekend, August 31st to September 2nd from 11 to 5. The opening is Friday, and you got to come because what's interesting about the opening night, Friday, August the 30th from 5 to 8, and it's at the Community Arts Workshop. And we'll talk about this a little bit more in the show. This is at 631 Garden Street. And why it's cool to come to the opening is because a lot of the artists are there with a representation of their work. That way there, out of all these artists, there's many, many, many. Out of all these artists, you can pick, for example, oh, I'd like to see this studio. I'd like to see this artist. I'd like to meet this artist. I'd like to see how this person works. And so you're able to take your map out, or take your phone out actually with the map on it and say, okay, I want to see these particular people. You can get your tickets at www.santabarbarastudioartists.com. Very reasonable. You can also see what opening night is all about there. And I have with me some wonderful artists from the studio tours. We're going to talk a little bit about their journey as an artist and also what they do to prepare. And I have Trisha Evanson, and Trisha writes me that whether she's visually referencing the real world or the abstract complexities of life, her work is inspired by a love of nature, its beckoning beauty and serenity, as well as hostility and fragility, either depicted through realism, the abstract use of bold gestural marks and shapes, or delicate layering of textures. I'm imparting a visual language that conveys the vitality of the energy streaming through me. My language is not about self-expression. It's about connecting with the viewer on a deeper level. Beyond my process, I aim to create art that explores the mysteries and wonders of life and inspires others to connect with their own sense of inner creativity and expression. And Trisha is there. Hello, Trisha.
Hi there. First of all, I just want to say it's Evanson, Trisha Evanson.
Evanson, okay.
Yes.
I beg your pardon.
Yes.
And you have a fellow collaborator next to you, and I understand it's a collaborator in life as well, Stan Evanson.
Right.
And Stan, we were kind of just listening to him speak. It's his birthday today. How cool is that? Stan says, I inject humor and unexpected elements into my work. I add fresh energy. I aim to break barriers and build bridges through playful yet thought-provoking creations. Additionally, I use storytelling to engage my audience, constructing visual narratives that prompt viewers to question their beliefs and consider new perspectives. And I would love to hear some of the projects that Stan's involved in that use humor in this way. We get into the body of the program today. I have Misa Art. I have Misa, who's with us. She's originally from Czechoslovakia, and she's lived everywhere. Chicago, New York City, Florida, California. She emphasizes the study of color and its emotional impact on well-being. Wood, metal, abstract, rhythm of brushstrokes, a flowing mix of muted color with contrapuntal pulls of feelings and inspirations. She transforms realism into an equally intense observation of surface. She's got her own signature style that blends several artistic genres. It needs no interpretation. Her work crosses borders and creates an expression of spirit and beauty that all audiences can relate to. And she writes something really interesting. She says, to create art is the only way I know how to be alive. It is very rewarding to help people feel and help them see from the other perspective. And so she is a really interesting person. If I can tell you, just reading a little bit about her, and I want to talk to more about what her mother had to do with her journey as an artist. It's an interesting story there. Hello, Misa.
Hello. How are you guys?
So now I have a friend that's been on the show a number of times. And actually, there's two things going on with Joan Rosenberg Dent. First of all, I own a piece by her. Secondly, she's got a show up right now at the Architectural Foundation, May 31st to August 24th. So it's still up for a short time until August 24th. And you can actually see her, and she's collaborated with Caroline Knapp. And the her work, I stopped in, Joan, to take a look at it. It's really interesting how you hung the show. I can tell you that. It's just a fantastic show. And Joan has quite a background. She is in several permanent museum collections. She's at the Renwick Gallery of the Smithsonian, the Detroit Institute of Art, the University of Michigan Museum of Art. She's at Westmont Ridley Tree Museum of Art, Canton Art Institute, University of California, Santa Barbara. She's at the Special Collections there and the Art Library Permanent Collection. She's at the Ridley Tree Cancer Center, and she's at Butler Institute of American Art and the Arnold Glimcher Collection, and in many private collections. She taught at Penn State University, and she works mainly in porcelain and mixed media. She received her Master of Fine Arts from Cranbrook. And Joan, I don't know if you knew this, but I don't know if you can see it. If I turn the screen a little bit, I don't know if you can see that. No, maybe not. I'll have to show it to you when we get into the break. But I have a huge mural done by the head of the art department at Cranbrook in the 1940s. And it's 18 feet. It actually is hanging in my condo here. I've got big high ceilings. And I followed Cranbrook, you know, throughout my career. I just love how Cranbrook came to be and the way that artists were taught there. I'd love to hear more about that when we get into the show. I think I would like to start with Stan, since it's his birthday.
Ooh.
Yeah. Wow. And I think Misa, he's a Virgo, is he not? If it's his birthday today?
Oh, Leo.
He's a Leo. And he is a really strong Leo because we're entering the Lion's Gate. So that's a pretty strong Leo there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So he's entering the Lion's Gate. Misa, I just have to ask you, what does that actually mean, since we're talking about Stan? And as Richard said, it's all about Stan's birthday today. What does that mean at Lionsgate?
Well, the energies every year around August 8th. It starts 28th of July and ends at 12th of August. It's like the strongest solar energy. We are really energetically connected with sun and all of the planets. So it's in astrology, it's a really strong, the strongest energy during actually all of the year and astrologically. And this year particularly, because it's number 8, I mean, you need to make a wish, Stella. You need to make a wish. It's going to be a big one.
Okay.
Okay.
There he goes. He's making a wish. Dan, you know, I want to know, you know, your bio is so interesting, and the fact that you use humor, I think people forget what a powerful vehicle humor is. And I remember in college studying Alexander Pope and his satires, you know, political satires, and this is an 18th century author, but how his whole group of authors in England in the 18th century used satire and humor to really zing it home, and politically and otherwise, social commentary. How do you use humor? Stan, tell me.
I like to interject humor anytime I can. All my pieces aren't humorous. I actually did Toastmasters, and Toastmasters, our group was called Funny Bones. And you didn't have to give funny speeches, but anyway, my artwork interjects humor, satire, and I'm really combining objects that really sometimes don't belong together at all. Like, pop surrealism is what kind of my style is, putting things that really, like a Jell-O mold that my mother might have made, and put a vintage plane above it, and it's dropping olive bombs into the Jell-O mold. You know, just things like that, or a lizard out in the desert staring at a martini, just not really understanding, and it's called lounge lizard. Or, you know, some people on a fishing boat, and they're on top of pancakes. You know, so that's kind of a sticky story, but... anyway, I try to interject wherever I can humor, and it isn't always in my pieces. Sometimes I will see something that no one else is noticing, like a water meter on a street, and I'll take a close-up shot of it, and I'll duplicate that with blowing up various, you know, like 150 times the size, and it becomes something else, something, a statement about our precious, you know, water. But anyway, I'm really into vintage iconography, and so to me, that's, if I see something with some rust on it, it attracts me. I don't know. I love the patina.
You know, I do too. And there's a branch of study that I participate in, and it's called material culture, and actually it's a school of thought that uses, so let's say you're working on a dissertation, let's say you have your committee that says you have got to use first source material. Usually what that means, Stan, is you're using the written word that was directly from the period and from the mouth of the writer, not, you know, analyzed by another writer later on in a later generation, for example. So you're using first source material. But material culture and analysis uses the stuff of that period to make an analysis of the culture. So I've often taught that discipline, and one of the things I love to do is bring in an old 1950s toaster.
Toasters.
Yeah. Bring in the toaster that's all, you know, sort of that deco shape, that bulbous sort of round shape, and the stainless, you know, with the little kind of chromatic look.
I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it's on his paint list.
I bring that in and I say, now this fell from the sky and you had no idea of the culture that made it. What could you tell me about that, this period in cultural life?
Yeah.
And it's surprising how people are capable of using their eyes and saying, well, this tells me about something about the speed of the culture. It tells me something about the sleekness of the culture. It tells me something about the laziness of the culture. And, you know, you can take that object. Mm-hmm. And I know what I mean, because sounds like you have the same, the same prediction. So let's switch over. Richard's giving us a sign. We have to go to quick break. I want to speak with Misa when we get back from the break. And we go from Stan, how interesting this is. We go from Stan, who uses the stuff that he finds that has rust on it. You know, the toaster is on his bucket list of things to paint. And we now speak with Misa when we get back from the break, who talks a lot about light and things that are intangible and spiritual. So you go from the material world to the spiritual world when we get back from the break and we talk with Misa in a few minutes. Richard, let's go to a quick break. And then we reintroduce everybody because these are four artists that are participating in the remarkable thing we have in Santa Barbara, Santa Barbara Studio Artist Tour, Open Studios, Labor Day weekend, August 31st to September 2nd, 11 to 5 p.m. Opening is Friday, August 30th from 5 to 8 at Community Arts on 631 Garden Street. And that is a not-to-be-missed cocktail party where you get to meet the artist and see who you want to see. So don't turn that down. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. We're celebrating the fact that we have gone through, can you believe it, 23 annual open studios. And this is always a fantastic time when you go into people's studios and homes and take a look at how they create and what they create. And Joan, I was talking to you about Cranbrook. And the mural that I own is by, I don't know if you know this name, Zoltan Sepesky. He was a teacher at Cranbrook, and I think he was head of the art department there in the 40s.
Yes, I do know who you mean. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And so
I wasn't there then, but he's a legacy that lives far longer than him.
I think he was the second to Sarian. Wasn't Sarian was number one president, and then Sepesky was second, I think, in the lineup. I think he was heredity of Sarian. He carried the torch, and then I don't know who came after him. But but I have this big piece. You have to come over and have a glass of wine with me and take a look.
I would love to see it. Yeah.
Huge piece. So anyway, Misa. Now, we were talking about Stan and his
humor.
It's his birthday. We were talking to him about how he creates, and he uses found objects. And he uses found objects that are embedded in culture to talk about the culture. And you'd kind of come at it the other way around. You're very spiritual, it sounds like. Tell me how this happened. First of all, your first painting was a portrait of the president of the Czech Republic.
Yes.
And your mom said, okay, I know about these artists and they don't normally eat. So I'm going to send Misa to business school. How did that happen?
It just happened. My mom, she was like, I don't want you to be starving artists. You're doing really well in a school. You should go to business. And I studied business, international business, economics, and I finished and I gave my mom the papers and I was like, okay, now I'm going to go to America to follow my dream. And I did by myself. I do believe that there is this calling, you know, everybody has it and they should just follow. I mean, you can listen to your mom until you're probably 18. I don't want to do any rebellious stuff, you know, but there's this calling that you just know. And I mean, I'm really glad that I did that because, as we know, art is also sales and a business part of it. It's actually really important. If you don't follow anything and you're just like floating around and painting, you will become a starving artist, you know? So I am not upset with her that she did that. It's just that when you have this calling, you just should follow it. So I did. That time I was not spiritual. What the spiritual came of was, I was always tapping into it, but I was a little bit like afraid of it. And I think that every artist in this world, and I believe that we all are artists, is having certain spiritual experiences, we all do. And the downloads from above, it is going through us and we just can express it. And we are very lucky to express it because it is very spiritual process. I was hit by a car in Chicago. And then when I woke up in the emergency room, I was just like totally different person. And I start to study actually the gift that I was giving to. So I'm very lucky to share that with the world and people and doing intuitive art where I channel a person and I literally make a custom piece for them, for their soul. So it's like, it's a totally different channeling where when you're an artist, you go from the top and you have the idea and you like express this through your hands, where I do custom work and I connect with the person and I literally channel them and I create that piece. So it's a little bit different.
You know, you remind me of my sister in a way because, by the way, tomorrow is my sister's birthday. lots of lions. But you know, so she comes. So she's an actor, yeah. And she trained at the Goodman School, which is in Chicago. You probably know of it, and she can adopt anybody's personality. So you never know quite what you're getting, and so. You know, if she's, and sometimes it's not of her own choice, but she's can absorb so much about the person that, you know, she can portray them, yeah. Or portray a character, but she does it with her body. She's very kinetic, you know, and so as an actress. So can you identify with that?
I totally can. I always said, this is really interesting that you're talking about acting. I'm very glad that I am like shamanic person after the near-death experience, but I can channel people and feel them. But I'm very glad that I can make art, sell it, and just stop that. Because as an acting, you are the product and it's constantly making you, I don't want to say like schizophrenic, but I know when I'm channeling person, I know when I start and when I stop. It's the same with acting. And I use my body, but as an actor, I think it's really challenging because you're kind of like, when you're acting, it's just like a nonstop. And then you have a, like, who are you? Where are you? Like with yourself. So I'm glad that I actually make a product and I can let go that acting. It's constantly like your product. You are the product. So it has to be very challenging.
Well, yeah. And so, but what I'm saying is that, you know, if you are faced with a client who's saying, I want you to make a specific piece for me and for my personality, that you can quickly see through that person and create something for, as you said, for their soul. Did I get it right?
Yeah. So I do readings first. I channel them and I study their astrology and I literally can feel since my near-death experience, all of their ancestors, I can feel all of their people in their family. So yeah, it's pretty challenging, but I know how to start and I know how to stop. So that's good.
It's super interesting that you came at this from your early training in business. And I can hear that because this is a gift that has to be controlled in a way, I would assume, or I've seen it in my sister who can adopt anybody's personality and that personality can run with her. So there's a sense I get from speaking to you that there's a background of control. So there's some kind of chalice or container that you can put this in and yeah. Stop and start it. Because a lot of people that have that kind of gift cannot.
It's amazing that you're saying that because after my near-death experience, it's in my book. I wrote a book about it. I say they gave me this switch and I was really lucky. I got the switch. So I didn't feel like I'm a crazy person. I mean, lots of artists feel that they have like downloads and there's this like, I don't want to say like that I'm a genius or anything, but there's these downloads that you can get and you can go crazy. If you're not grounded, if you don't know how to stop it, because there is a lots of information. So, yeah, I got the switch. I'm good. I can be a mom. I can be a friend. I can be a normal person.
Well, I kind of can identify a little bit with this because when I was 5 years old, I fell off my bicycle. I was learning how to ride a bike, and I had a brain concussion. I was out for a couple of months, and when I, you know, I actually heard both of my grandmothers, believe it or not, calling me, and I'll never forget that. Now, what I've done with that experience is I'm able to remember so much and have like a incredible dream life. So yeah. I can, you know, but that opens some kind of gate where, you know, my dreams are so vivid. But anyway, I can identify a little bit with what you're saying. And now I'd like to switch gears and talk with Tricia Evenson a little bit. She's kind of, well, let's say inspired by nature, but she's inspired, you know, in a different way than I identify with the typical Central Coast nature artist. You know, we call that plein air work. And so plein air work does not deal with nature's hostility nor fragility. Plein air work deals with pretty stuff and eucalyptus trees and blue skies and this sort of thing. So start me off, Tricia. How is your work different from the plein air artist?
Well, I think that I do some realism and work. I'm not as a plein air artist, but I will do some paintings where I really focus on a subject matter, mostly animals or other, you know, birds of that kind of nature. But my primary love is abstract art. And I did a body of work several years ago called The Language of Water. And I just focused on waterscapes. And I didn't paint from life. I just painted what was flowing through me at the time. And it became kind of a signature, a little Rothko-ish in as an inspiration initially, but it developed into something where I was playing with the paint itself. And I would just start and a landscape would emerge. And it would emerge not because I was trying to paint a particular scape, it just would happen organically. And I use a lot of water when I'm painting. I spray, I drip, I turn things upside down, a lot of layering, also a lot of saturated color. So a big aspect of my work, I'm a colorist. And I love to play with color and really a texture, light. Those are the themes within sort of that I am inspired by nature.
I see. So you're not looking at a scene and bringing that scene to the canvas. You're actually letting the canvas cover its own
Absolutely.
Scene.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a dialogue.
Yeah, right. So in this way, totally different from your California nature painter.
That's right.
In general. Yeah. Richard's giving us the look that we have got to go to break. That's the look. Yes. And we're celebrating two things today. We're celebrating Stan Evenson's birthday, and we are also celebrating the 23rd annual Open Studios tour. It's Labor Day weekend, and all the artists that we're speaking to today, you can go and meet them, speak with them in their studios, purchase a few things if you like. Labor Day weekend, August 31st to September 2nd. 11 to 5 p.m. And what we are going to experience is the opening night, which is going to be August the 30th from 5 to 8 at Community Arts Workshop, CAW, and it's 631 Garden Street on that evening. And you're going to see all these canvases and all these people talking, and they are the artists, and you can meet them and figure out who you want to visit on the studio tour that opens the very next day. I see that we had on the website, on the studio artist, you can go www.santabarbarastudioartists.com, and you can kind of see who you want to visit too. There's little visual thumbnails of each of people's work. And featured artists Kevin Gleason and Francis Sorrells, am I saying it right? Scorzelli. And he is the person that helped me put this interview together, by the way. Thank you, Francis. One of the featured artists on the studio tour. Okay, let's go to quick break. And then I'd like to speak to Joan about very different medium than we have discussed before. We're working now from the two dimensions to the third dimension when we speak with Joan. And as Misa said, and a very accomplished artist indeed, in many, many museums. And we're just blessed to have her here. Also, if you want to get a real good sense of her work, I would urge you to stop in at the Architectural Foundation Gallery. Her work is hanging there till August 24th, and it's a collaboration between Joan and Carolyn Knapp. And it's pretty cool. It's just interesting to see how both artists hung the work and how they interplay off of each other, because Joan's got her porcelain sculpture there. And then Caroline, is it Cap or Knapp, Joan?
Cap.
It's Cap. Okay. Caroline Cap's got photographic processes, and is that's what her medium is. And it's super interesting to see how these things kind of dynamically play with each other. So Caroline and Joan's work, how they play against each other. So Richard, let's go to quick break. And we are celebrating the 23rd annual Open Studios Labor Day weekend studio artist tour, not to be missed. How many, does anyone know how many artists are represented on the tour?
23.
Oh, 23 for 23rd annual.
Yeah.
Yep. It just worked out way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. That is very cool. Okay. Synchronicitous. So don't turn that down. Back in a minute with our four wonderful artists. I'm going to talk to Joan when we get back from the break. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. We're talking about the 23rd annual Open Studios Tour, Labor Day weekend, August 31st, September 2nd. I found out that there's 23 artists that are represented on the 23rd annual Open Studios, just happenstance. Now, August 31st, September 2nd, the opening night is August the 30th from 5 to 8 at the Community Arts Workshop. Really fun experience. The artists are talking amongst themselves. They're talking with their clients. They're talking to you. You can come. The public can come. Tickets are really reasonable. The ticket will get you into opening night as well as the studio artist tour. And I want to talk with Joan Rosenberg-Gent. So a two-dimensional artists we've talked to before that are represented in the show, Tricia Evenson, Stan Evenson, and Misa. Joan is actually a sculptor in a really unique way. My favorite medium is porcelain, and the history of porcelain is fantastic. Goes back many, many years in Persia and China, actually 2,000 plus years, but we didn't discover it in the West, we being Europe, we didn't discover it until very mid-18th century. So it's a very new medium to the Western canon of fine art. And Joan, tell me a little bit about how you taught. I know that you taught at many universities, but notably Pennsylvania State University and the University of Michigan. And you're also chairman of ceramics and glass at Ohio University. And I often wonder, when you're teaching, and you know, you're an accomplished artist, how do you recognize talent in a young sculptor?
That's interesting.
Wow. What is talent? I think when I see a student do an assignment that I say, you know, make a cup, and that student makes 20 cups and picks the best one to show me, I think that they really want to succeed. And I don't know about talent. I think it's more practice. The more you do, the better you get. And that's what happens with the students. The students, there's a lot of creative kids out there, but the ones that really put forth the effort, they move forward, and you can see it in their eyes. You can see that they really want to get there. They're super motivated, and those kids end up with the talent and the motivation, and some of them make it.
It's so interesting what you're saying to me, because I have two brothers. One, oh, there goes. Well, I better sign off for 1 second, and maybe Joan, you can continue about teaching for me.
I did have one student who was the sloppiest mess. Everything, she was untucked. She was all apart. She was. Her socks were half one on, one off. She didn't know where her arms and legs ended. And she would be covered in clay. Everybody would work on the wheel, but she would get covered in clay. Her parents came and told me they had to buy a new washing machine because of all the clay. And this kid loved it so much. And her pieces were like her. They were just like a wreck. But she ended up honing in this wreck and having her own style, and she really developed. So you just never know.
You're so beautiful.
That is so sort of this creative chaos. You know, it's interesting. I like to ask artists how they work and what their day is like. Some artists, you know, think about Ernest Hemingway, for example. He was always quoted as saying, "My rear end is in my chair from this hour to this hour." And even if I'm looking at a blank page in the typewriter, it's my rear end is still in that chair. Mm-hmm. Other artists say, "Well, I'm going to be inspired." What about you, Joan?
Well, I get up every morning and I go for a long beach walk. And if it's really awful, I go to the gym, but I have to work out. I have so much energy when I wake up. And then I go into my studio and I never sit down. I have to walk around because I'm working dimensionally, 3D. I have to, and I need different supplies. I need to look at it. I'm always constantly moving. And right from my studio, I take off my clay apron, walk in the house, and put on my cooking apron. So my energy level is really up. At the end of the day, I'm pretty tired, but I'm exhausted in a good way. I love being hands-on constantly. That's the way I work.
What do you, when you say, you know, that you're talking about the clay, what is the relationship that you have with the clay?
Oh, a clay is so wonderful. You can do anything you want with it. You can work with it hard or soft. You can do textures. You can do smooth. It'll respond to your every touch. It's malleable. It becomes part of you. It's an extension of your fingers and your hands. Sometimes people say, How do you make those forms? And I really can't say how. They fall off of my fingers. it's just an extension of me. And I love the three-dimensional quality. I never could relate to paintings like I could to dimensional pieces. I love being able to hold them, to feel them, to touch them. I like to feel the grittiness, the smoothness, the tactileness. Paint doesn't do it for me. The color is wonderful, and I can put color on my clay, but I prefer to keep it pure porcelain. I call my pieces naked porcelain because I don't like to candy coat them. I like the light to pass right through. That's the beauty of porcelain, is the translucency. So I enjoy the naked quality of porcelain. Every now and then I need a touch of color. If my concept demands it, I put it in. But if I'm working with a concept that does not demand color, why make it pink or blue or yellow or green? Leave it alone. And I think that's a mistake a lot of students make. They keep embellishing and embellishing. And really what you want to do is get to the essence. So that's how I feel. That's my work.
So Richard, do we have to go to another break? Okay, we can go to another break. And very quickly then, when we get back, I want to do a round robin and ask each of you, how do you know when a piece is finished? How do you know when to stop? Richard, let's go to quick break. And then that's my final question to all four of you. How do you know when you're finished with a piece? Don't turn that dial. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, Studio Artist Tour, coming up Labor Day weekend, the 23rd annual, starting August the 30th with an opening night at Community Arts Workshop, where you can see between 5 and 8 p.m. all of the 23 artists, and you can select who you want to visit. Joan, how do you know when something's finished?
I keep taking away parts and parts and parts until I get to the essence. Once I'm there, it's finished.
Got it. Misa, how do you know when a piece is finished?
When the snakes start to having legs, I know it's time to stop.
When the what is happening? What?
When the snakes start to having legs.
Legs.
Oh.
Got it.
When the snake starts having legs, you know you got to stop. Oh, that reminds me of Michael Drury, who's a longtime teacher of art in town. And Michael, I asked the same thing. How do you tell a student when a painting is finished? He says, well, right before they start to paint the brown potato in the sky, meaning
exactly.
That all my artists know what that means. Yeah.
Right.
You're
yep.
mixing your oils and you get mush. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Stan, how do you know you're finished?
Yeah. I don't call it mush. I call it sweater brown. I know I'm finished when it's not when all the pieces and parts have been covered, but I'm just feeling complete, and it's just an inner thing that I just know I'm done. I'm ready to paint the sides and put the coating on that I need on this painting and wire it up to hang. That's finished.
Something tells you it's done, and then you respond to that. Is that what I'm hearing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And what about Tricia? How do you know when a piece is finished, Tricia?
You know, I mentioned earlier that I have a dialogue with the painting, with the canvas. And it's a constant conversation back and forth. And when I know that I'm approaching the end, I just keep scanning to see what's calling for my attention. And when that is a quiet space, I know I'm done. when there's nothing left to say, there's nothing needed, the canvas is no longer needing anything for me, I know I'm complete.
I think that's marvelous. And just one more shout out, the 23rd Annual Open Studios Tour, Labor Day weekend, August 31st to September 2nd, 11 to 5 p.m. The opening is Friday, August the 30th. If you've enjoyed our conversation with these four wonderful artists, you can have more of that as the Studio Artist Tour goes on that whole weekend. And I'll see you August 30th from 5 to 8 at Community Arts Workshop. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.